Prepare to be astonished.
It's that time again.
Let's get started.
From the Clatsop County Historical Society, an adventure in history with Matt Burns and Alana Quila.
You should never be allowed to talk to people.
Some people without brains do an awful lot of talking.
And now, with today's adventure, it's Mac and Alana.
Good evening, and welcome to another adventure in history. I'm Alana Quila with Providence Seaside Hospital, here tonight with Mac Burns, Executive Director of the Clatsop County Historical Society. And tonight we have a very esteemed guest.
Ooh, esteemed. I was going to say literary.
Ooh, a very...
We're literate. Not that our other guests aren't literate, but more literate, perhaps.
Correct. Ooh, do you want to give us, so without saying your name, tell us something about your job that might help us figure out who you are.
I push books.
Ooh.
Ooh, a book pusher.
I love book pushers. They're fabulous.
They are.
And I'm a member of her club. Ooh. Are you a member of her club?
Only by default, because there's a joint
agreement,
is there not?
Yes. They're cooperative.
So
I love that. We talked about it when it first started.
We did.
During the pandemic.
We had Jimmy.
Yep. He was our first guest.
He was our first practice guest.
Oh, was that just the practice
yes,
one?
Because KMUN wanted an actual test show instead of listening to previous shows.
Oh, we love you, Jimmy.
And then
Thank
we brought him
that.
Back, but he was not our first
he was our practice
on-air guest.
But Kelly is not our practice. Kelly
not
Knudsen. Thank you for joining us tonight. Director of Warrenton Community Library. Glad you're here.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah.
So I think because there's going to be a lot of...
There is.
I'm trying to think of pages to cover.
Ooh, yes.
But I couldn't think of a good one.
That was quick, though. Good.
We should get right to it. So let's get through the history highlights.
Let's do it.
So these are things that happen tomorrow.
Okay.
Again, things that you can break the ice with or win on Jeopardy or go to trivia night. Maybe this will be one of the questions.
Okay.
So things that happened on April 25th, 1684, the patent is granted for the thimble.
Ooh, I like that.
Thimbles.
Yeah, very useful.
And how weird is this? My wife was looking for a thimble yesterday in the house, and I was writing these yesterday.
And you had no idea where one was.
How do thimbles come up twice in my day? It seems very, very unlikely.
That is odd.
All right, so 1684, no more needles in the thumbs. 1719, Robinson Crusoe is published, written by Daniel Defoe.
Ooh.
I love Robinson Crusoe. As a kid, that was one of my favorite books. I don't know that it was my first book because it was probably a comic book or some kid's book.
Well, younger, yep.
But the first, taking it off the bookshelf and reading it.
Loved it. Yeah. And inspired so many other stories, right?
That's right.
That have come from that.
Well, and it jumped for me. And then I had to read the whole genre, Swiss Family Robinson, Mysterious Island, which then led to 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea because Captain Nemo's in Mysterious Island. And I mean, just a whole genre that I gobbled up.
Oh, that's good.
And then I moved on to Hardy Boys books.
I love the Hardy Boys.
Yeah, they were okay.
I read them. And Nancy Drew, of course.
So you might want to be thinking about what your favorite book is because I'm going to ask.
It's coming up.
Let's see. 1792, the guillotine is first used in France.
Ooh.
And it's to execute highwayman Nicolas Pelletier.
Oh, okay.
Highwayman. I don't know why that word just makes me laugh. All right. 1901, New York becomes the first state to require automobile license plates.
Oh, interesting.
New York, way to go. Huh. And they charged $1.
Wow.
That was the fee.
That actually does seem kind of expensive.
In 1901.
Though, doesn't
yes.
it?
And how many cars? We did a thing about horses and cars in New York, but there couldn't have been more than...
That's why it was $1.
I'm going to go on a leap, even 5,000. I bet that's way high.
Oh, wow.
I bet it was 200. Huh. All right. 1917, jazz legend Ella Fitzgerald is born.
Ooh, I love that.
Yeah. 1947, President Truman inaugurates the White House bowling alley. The man liked to bowl.
Your favorite aspect of the White House. It's in the basement, right?
It is. Okay. And then, yes, it is, but I'm trying to think, is it Nixon, the put a pool in, but no, it was FDR that put the pool in. I think the bowling alley goes over the pool.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I can't remember. I know Nixon liked to bowl too. 1990, the Hubble Space Telescope is placed in orbit. What we never talk about though is it was obsolete by the time it went up.
Oh, space junk.
But it takes so long. I mean, it did great work, but they had better telescopes by the time that it was actually launched. And I think we've put some of those up there since then. But our history highlight of the day, not a huge one, not an exciting one, and I don't really have anything else about it, but 1859, ground broken for the Suez Canal.
Well,
Yeah. I think shipping and merchant mm-hmm. and
for sure
worldwide commerce that had a big impact.
That's good.
So 1859, our history highlight of the day, ground broken for the Suez Canal.
That's good.
I should have thought about who our guest was so that I could say that the history highlight was Robinson.
Yep.
Robinson Crusoe.
That you actually read a book.
That's right. Yay, now, come on.
Several books. So we don't usually do this, but I had one from yesterday.
Oh,
so I,
okay.
Something that happened yesterday in 1800. Ooh. The Library of Congress was established in Washington, D.C. with a $5,000 allocation. Now, that did have to be something. I mean, $5,000 in 1800.
That's a lot of money.
That's significant.
And had that happened on April 25th, that would have been my history highlight of the day.
There you go.
I don't care
but
what
it
else
didn't.
Happened.
We won't do that often, folks, because I know it's confusing, but there you go. So that brings us to our guest.
So your budget's probably a little more than $5,000.
A little bit. Not much more.
So in a sense, one could argue that your budget is bigger than the Library of Congress.
When it started. Yes.
City Council of Orange, if you're listening now, that she really does not have a bigger budget.
We'll come back to you with an estimate of what it would be today, because we could grow. We could grow the Warrington Community Library. But let's start with you. So how did you come to us and to our community?
Well, I was working in Wilsonville and doing help desk support, and I was looking for a librarian job. I have a librarian degree. I graduated from UW-Milwaukee in Wisconsin in 2016 with a Master's of Library and Information Science. And I was like using my downtime at work because I was on the computer all day looking for librarian jobs on the coast because I really wanted to live out here. And so the job opened and I applied and I interviewed. I think there was 10 applicants. And
oh
then,
my goodness.
Yes, I got the job.
But you were far better than the other 9.
Apparently.
Wow, 10 applicants.
Okay, so you glossed over like a million things there. So yeah, we're going to back up.
That's where it started.
So Wisconsin.
Correct.
That's where you grew up.
Right. That's where I grew up, in Stevens Point, Wisconsin. I came out here in 2017. My husband and I got together. We both had previous relationships with others, and our kids that we had raised together then were out of the house. And so we both had connections to Oregon. And he's like, let's move to Oregon. And I'm like, let's go. And so we came out here.
Empty nesters.
So what were the connection to Oregon?
Well, my husband's mother, she's from here. And his parents divorced when they were younger. So he grew up without his mom. So he'd always been wanting to come out here and came out here several times in his 20s. And then I had some friends who moved out here in the late 90s. And I came out and visited. And I stayed for like a year and worked at McMinniman's Pubs in Portland and just was loving it. But I missed my family and I was a single parent. So I moved back to Wisconsin in like 99. Okay. But then I was like, I'm going back there. I'm going back to Oregon. I'm going to live on the coast. In fact, I have a whole tattoo of sleeves of ocean.
Beautiful.
Ocean.
You can't see it, folks. But
it's moments
there.
Like this that I wish we were a video
colorful
podcast.
Ocean, sunshine. Yeah. Yes. Keep going.
And so, colorful. Yeah, then I just, then when I was working as a school librarian, I was trying to finish off the school year. I was in elementary, but I called it hellementary because it wasn't really my cup of tea. I mean, I give the kindergarten teachers and all the teachers so much credit for doing that, and I was just not having a good time. And my husband's like, you should just quit. We should just go. So like 2 weeks, we like packed up all our stuff that we could fit in our vehicles and sold everything and came out here on April 15th of 2017.
Oh my gosh, almost anniversary
and
time.
We went to McMinnville, and that was where my husband's mother lived, and we stayed with her for a little bit. And then we decided, we were like, it's kind of expensive to live here. And we had a little bit of money because we sold all of our stuff, and we bought an RV. And we decided to, we were like, wherever we can find an RV park to live in, we're going to live there for a while until we can figure it out. And we found an RV park in Estacada, Clackamas River RV Park, right across from the Clackamas River.
I've been
there.
It's beautiful.
Beautiful river, right across from Promontory Park there. And we lived there for about 2.5 years. And I worked at David Douglas Schools. I started as a substitute, subbing all over, and then a librarian job opened at the high school there. And I worked there for a little bit, and it was a big job. You know, there was, I guess in 2008, Oregon kind of eliminated all school librarians because of the recession. So it was 2 librarians for like 17 schools.
And David Douglas is one, it's back and forth, is the largest high school in Oregon.
Yes, between
Reynolds.
Yes.
Is also, so back and forth.
It was 6 city blocks.
Yeah.
I worked there and also at Fir Ridge, which is their alternative school. And so I wasn't really liking that position as public schools. And so I decided to just quit and do some IT, like whatever I could find that was kind of just remote. And I found a job through Carisbrook Technologies, doing the help desk stuff, working for Banfield Pet Hospitals. They were like updating all their servers. So we were working on a project, helping them install and, you know, remotely accessing their computers and doing things. And then this job opened and here I am.
Wow. So two things. One, I always feel badly when I say, like you just said about elementary libraries were not for me. I feel like it feels like you're saying a dig on that,
right.
But it's just not for me. I always, when I'm giving tours to school
to
kids
yeah.
through the Flavel House, I'll say, you know, I could never teach. It's not that I think teaching is bad. I respect the heck out of the people that can, but I know it's not for me.
Yeah.
So I just, it's always funny when you say something like that, there's, you kind of hesitate. You don't want to say
no,
it.
No, I know.
So how did you get into, I want to be a librarian. I want to get a master's in library science.
Oh, yes, that story. Well, I started as an English teacher, and my first full-time English teaching job was at a juvenile correctional facility in Wisconsin called Lincoln Hills Copper Lake Schools, and it was my favorite teaching job. And they had just closed a school in Milwaukee, another juvenile correctional facility, and they had to pack up all the books, and they sent a semi-truck full of books up to the school. And the principal was like, you like books? Why don't you help us organize these? And so they remodeled the library. Oops. And I helped. And another librarian that my mom works with, my mom has been working in libraries as an aide in school libraries since I can remember, probably like 25 years. And so she asked the librarian that she was working with if she would want to help, and they hired her as like a contractor. And then while I was doing the cataloging and all the fun stuff, organizing the books, she's like, you should go to school for this. So I signed up with UW-Milwaukee online, and I did it all online while I taught full-time.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, and so then, I just was like, well, I'm going to start working in libraries. And I worked there for a couple years. We started this blended learning program where we were giving the kids access to online teaching tools. It was really great. And then I moved on to a public school just to kind of get a different feel. And that's when I was in elementary. And then we moved here.
So when somebody gets, and I'm going to be really ignorant here, when somebody gets a master's degree in library science, mm-hmm. is there a focus like elementary library, school library, a city public library?
Yes.
Is there a different track, and is there actually different things you learn?
Mm-hmm. They ask you to choose kind of where your focus is going to be, and then you pick your courses based on where your choices are. But I was doing public school at the time. Mm-hmm. That's how I was able to still... I was able to get a job as a librarian in a school, even though I didn't have the degree yet, because I was actively working towards it.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. But you had the teaching degree.
Correct. So it was like an add-on type of thing.
So tell me about the teaching at this correctional facility, because I can see that you had a passion for that. So what was it about connecting with those kids in that environment?
I always like to say that they were a captive audience. I know it's terrible, but they really were so excited to come to school. We had to teach by living unit, which is not by like you're in eighth grade or you're 17 and you're, you know, they organized the students by these living units. And so we would have an entire group of, say, Miller students, or they were named after, the units were named after famous people. I don't know who Miller was. It was just somebody's last name. But yeah, we would have like a whole group of kids that we could have some kid that had an eighth grade reading level and a kid who had a fourth grade reading level and a kid who had. But I just tried to, we would read books out loud together and answer questions about them and talk about background knowledge. And they couldn't wait to come. They loved learning. It was exciting. Hmm. It was fun. It was challenging, and there was bad things that happened.
Sure.
But they already had been accused and committed of their crimes, and now it's time for them to learn where to go from here. And so it felt like it was a good place that I could help them and show them and give them ideas and show them things they had never heard about before. And so.
And in a setting like that, are they reading books just for enjoyment, or are they reading for I need to read this for my English class or my social studies class?
Yeah, books were like money in there. First, when I was teaching, we were requiring them to read certain books, and we would read them together. But also, they kept to come to the library, you know, once a week. And the same books would like not come back again and again and again. And they'd be like, I would hear things like, oh, what's his name? Traded a bag of Cheetos for that book. Or like, they were like trading, if it was, what did they call it? There were certain words they used. I can't remember the terms now, but it was just a different way of, they were very excited. They didn't have video games. They didn't have other things to distract them. They barely had television. So the books were the entertainment and a way to kind of get out of where they were. In my opinion.
I love that.
Yeah.
That's pretty funny. Cheetos.
I know.
What book is worth of Cheetos? I just like that they're stealing the book.
Yes, right? I know. I didn't mind. I was like, I'll just buy it again.
The book, it's not like the book's going very far.
That's true.
It's there somewhere.
Was it really a theft then at that point?
No. So some of this, I mean, because you brought some great children's program to the Warrenton Library and some great new staff too. So tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, recently in November, we hired Cassandra Williams. She's the new library assistant, and she has taken over the teen programming, and she's doing Dungeons & Dragons, which we're thinking about morphing into more of a gaming club, because we had it set for just teenagers, like 12 to 18 for Dungeons & Dragons, but then younger kids wanted to come, so we lowered it to 10. And then there were tears because someone got killed during one of the battles. And we were like, this is hard to manage with such a wide age range. So Cass has come up with this idea to just do board games or other kinds of games associated with role play and storytelling that can be accomplished and finished in one setting instead of trying to continue with a storyline. So that's a great thing she started. And she's also working on, what other club is she? Anime club. She's doing the anime club once a month with the kids. That's also ages 10 to 18. And they watch anime. They eat Japanese snacks that we order. They talk about their favorite anime. They draw anime. They are trying to learn Japanese. There's just so many things that they want to do it twice a month, but we just don't have the staff to do it that often. And then Cass is also in charge of our teen advisory board, which gives us direction on what do they want to do at the library. And she just had a meeting with them last week, and they want some foam seats. They want some big cushy cushions and a charging station. A charging station to charge their Nintendo Switches and all of their fun electronics after school.
I love that.
So I have never visited Warrenton before. So where is the library and how big of a facility is it?
It is on 160 South Main Avenue across from Main Street Market, kitty corner from the Warrenton City Hall. And it's not that large. I think we hold 50 people. And we have a Lego club that we started. That the last Lego club last week had 27 participants plus their caretakers. So it was almost filled to capacity. It used to be, it was built as a U.S. bank, I think in 1964 mm-hmm. or 65. And then it was a restaurant and now it's the library.
Serendipity yes. Cafe.
Yes. Yes.
But yes, the bank vault is still there.
It is, and we call it the young adult vault.
I love that.
What's in the vault?
Yeah.
The young adult collection. That's where we put the teen stuff.
Nice. Yes.
My little two-year-old loves to go in there.
And how many people do you service in a given week? Whether it's somebody coming in just to read newspaper, or somebody coming in to sign out a book, or somebody bringing their Legos to play?
Well, we keep track of the door count, who comes in and out. And before the masks were lifted, it was about 35 to 40, and now it's getting to be about 45 to 50 a day.
So, that's amazing.
Yeah. It's a lot. We go to children's story time, and I think it's sort of maxed out, too. I mean, with teacher Courtney.
Courtney, yes.
And it's packed. Mm-hmm. It's a mm-hmm. packed space.
So I'm just thinking about the number of people playing Legos. That's a lot of Legos to step on in my bare feet.
Yes. And they're the little ones, too. I mean, and they make these just fantastic little creative things that I would never know how to do them.
Yes, we got a great donation from the Northwest STEM Hub. They gave us some really great kits that are out of this world. I've never seen kits like this. I mean, you can buy the kits in the store, but these are STEAM kits that are built to, they have pulleys, they have all the simple machines in them. They're really neat.
So I didn't warn you I was going to ask this, but I don't believe this, but libraries are archaic. I can get everything I want online. Why are libraries still important?
Oh, they're so important. We have a library of things, so we're not just checking out books. We are checking out musical instruments. We have two guitars, a violin, a kalimba. We used to have a djembe, but someone never returned it. But yeah, we check out so many different things. So it's more than just books and finding the information. And a lot of times people come in and they don't know where to find the information. So we help guide them, especially now with tax season.
They have binoculars. They yes. have, you can get a pass to the Columbia River Maritime Museum, a yes. family pass.
We just got a sewing machine.
Oh, yeah, a sewing machine. Mm-hmm. I saw that the other day. Tons of puzzles, tons of games.
Yes.
See, I think one of the most important things is the youth reading, the preschool, because not everybody's house has tons of books. And if you're not surrounded by books, you may not become a reader. So getting a kid familiar and excited that let's go listen to a story and then you get to sign a book out that we can read at home. Mm-hmm. I think that is just so important to pre-education, to setting a course that I don't think anybody, any institution besides public libraries are really equipped to do that as well at the right age.
That's right. And we just got a new library assistant youth coordinator, Ms. Courtney. Courtney Johnston just started, and she has a master's in early education, and she is just rocking the story times.
She's amazing.
Yes.
She's very well known. She was my older daughter, Carly's preschool teacher several years. So we were so excited to see her. And we're singing the same songs. Like the first time I was there, I got a little emotional, like hearing like these songs. I'm like, oh my gosh, I've been waiting for this for a couple of years because we just stopped going to her school, mid-pandemic. So
right. Yes, we're very excited to have her. And Cass has come up with the idea of having maybe adult story time where we read new books that came in, new children's stories, and the adults can check them out. Or I don't know. I get all nostalgic about story time, too. I love sitting there and doing all the dances and singing with the kids.
You're going around taking pictures. Yes. I see. Yes, usually.
So that might have already answered my question, but what's the best part of your job?
I really like interacting with the patrons and the people and finding every reader their book. Like, I don't get to do that very often, but yeah, I really enjoy finding somebody their answer. Other than that, a lot of the stuff for the city of Warrenton is just a lot of work, a lot of headaches, and but it makes the operations run smoothly. So, yeah.
So I think, did we ask her yet what her favorite book is?
No, I was getting ready to.
Okay. So book and then genre. Like, what's your go-to?
There we go.
Well, I just finished Poet Warrior by Jo Harjo. And because I really enjoy Harjo. She's a Native American. She was the Poet Laureate last year, I believe, for 2021. But I love Native American authors. My children are Native American. Ho-Chunk, Potawatomi, Oneida, and Stockbridge Munsee out of Wisconsin. And so I really, really was drawn to Sherman Alexie when I first discovered literature and was starting to read Native American authors. And then Joy Harjo, she's a poet and a songwriter. And so I just read that book about her life. It's a memoir, and it's my favorite currently. Okay. So I think that answers nonfiction and poetry and Native American authors, like any of them, all of them.
I'm sorry, the correct answer was Robinson Crusoe? No, it's actually not my favorite, so that's okay.
It's still popular. It's weird.
So did you help bring together this program that brought all the libraries together, or was that wheel already in motion prior to you starting? Because it did come to fruition during the pandemic, which was perfect timing, it seemed like.
Well, the interlibrary loan, the exchange of books between the two, had already been going on, although you could only do it... could only request them online and then pick them up at your home library. And then Jimmy and Esther and I got together and we've solidified the agreement and put it forth to our commissions in July of 2020. Yes. So yeah, it's it's awesome.
It expanded the number of books that you have in your collection effectively.
And now you can go to each library physically and use your card and pick them up. So if you know a book's at Seaside and you don't want to wait for it to come in the interlibrary loan, which takes about a week, you could just go physically grab it.
And is that tracked how often it's used?
Yes.
And are more Warrentonians using it in Seaside or more Seaside people using it in Astoria? I'm just kind of curious who's reading the most.
We do track that, but we don't talk about that so much. But I feel like, it's reciprocal every which way. Esther really keeps up on the statistics, so maybe you need to ask her when she comes.
I would think it would go. It would be Warrenton, but sometimes when you're online and you're trying to request the book that you want, you're going to just request the one that's available, right?
The next
available now in Seaside, I'm going to put that one on hold and have it delivered to my Warrenton branch, right?
See, and I also think that the towns are close enough that if I really wanted the book, I'll drive to Seaside.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I don't want to wait a week.
And it isn't always a week because I've done it. Sometimes it's not.
We just started a new program. Well, we're starting a new a new library system. That's the check-in, check-out system, a new computer system. And what's going to happen is kids' student IDs will be tied to their library card. So any student who has a student ID from whatever school, Astoria, Napa, Svenson, any of them, if they have their ID, it's automatically a library card, so they can just
perfect.
Use that.
That's fantastic.
I know. Oh, that's
that'll
nice.
Start in July, so I'm excited about that.
So my last attempt to cause trouble of the three libraries in Seaside, Astoria, and Warrenton, which is the best? And I'm sure they're not listening. So
everybody says Warrenton. I really like that library. Even I moved to Ocean Park now. I live in Ocean Park. I moved there at the beginning of last month. And a gentleman from there, Blaine, is going to be making us a new library sign. And he said he was being interviewed for something and from in Chinook, I think the Chinook, whatever their newspaper is.
Observer.
And the gentleman said, oh, I love that library. And everybody says that.
Everybody.
So it's small. It's you don't have to go up the stairs. It's close. We have the book sale. We have a free book cart every day that sits outside. So
I love that you just went there and owned it so, and said we're the best.
Yeah.
What? I know.
My opinion was already pretty high of you, but it just went through the roof.
Well, usually,
there's no roof on this
usually
building
it's
anymore.
Jimmy and Esther comparing yes. Seaside and Astoria because Warrenton's just what it is. I mean, I never even heard of Warrenton, you know, until it was like, where is this? So
the Warrenton Library has come a long way. Can I say that?
Yeah.
From when I used to walk in the other building and there were signs that said, watch where you step. There may be holes in the floor.
Oh, my.
Wow.
Yes.
Is it a big enough facility?
Mm.
I mean, forget like budgeting and cost. Does it deserve a bigger building than what you have for the collections and for the things that you do? Because I've heard twice now, this program's at capacity.
Yeah, it's growing. We're actually having an emergency board meeting tomorrow night to talk about the tax levy that's coming up in November that the voters will be voting on. And, like, what could we do? It's too small. We're outgrowing it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The addition of those children's programs and youth programs really starting last year were very needed and very necessary. So this is Warrenton's community center, right? Mm-hmm. And the other libraries, too, are the community centers for their towns. They're free, they're available, they're safe, and they're open.
Yes.
But yes, like the children's that I take my little tier to, I mean, it's packed mm-hmm. for that age group, right? I mean, it's tiny.
And I've been in that building both as a library and as a restaurant, never as a bank, but it does feel like 25 people would kind of max it out.
And I would hate for you ever have to choose too. So do we limit capacity or limit the number of books?
Right.
Right.
It's both right now.
You don't want to do either one ever. Right. Yeah. So
do you get ever, I know my daughter had some friends that would always go after high school to the Astoria Library and that was their study and homework time.
Yes, it's been happening a lot now more than since Cass is here. And I went to the middle school to a class and also to the high school. And the students can catch the Sunset Empire bus. Yes. Mm-hmm. Anybody 10 and over can catch it for free and get dropped off at the library. And since I've mentioned that, several students have been getting dropped off. And hence the reason that I need to get a charging station for their Nintendo Switches.
So what are the hours and contact time, contact information for you?
All right. So we're open 10 to 6 Monday through Thursday. And we're actually switching our hours. We're going to be open at 1 o'clock on Fridays and then 10 to 2 on Saturdays.
Wow.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And you're open on Mondays.
Yes.
Got it.
And the website is warrentonlibrary.org for any info you're looking for.
That's simple enough.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Children's story time.
Wednesday. 10:30.
Yep. Wednesday morning, 10:30.
And we're going to start doing it every Saturday, too, starting May 2nd.
So, when is Lego time?
Lego time is the first Thursday at 4 and the second and fourth Tuesday at 4.
And most importantly, gaming day.
Gaming day is it's the opposite of Lego, so it's the first and third Tuesday.
They have a great social media account too, so you can go on
Facebook.
Social media also and check out those times. Thank you so much. We're so glad you're here, and we're glad you're in our community. Thank you.
Thank you for having me.
All right. Thanks for listening. Go make some history. We will catch you next week.
Thank you for joining us for An Adventure in History. An Adventure in History is created and produced by the Clatsop County Historical Society and brought to you by KMUN.